I don't want to leave people blackpilled and cynical and without hope. I saw this article and I thought it was really a wonderful article. It's about a search and rescue team. And they were looking for a man, and they'd been looking for him for about 2 weeks, and there was no sign of it. And so they believed that they were just doing a body recovery, but they actually found the man alive after 14 days, 12 days without any food or water, 12 days without food or water. The person who was on the rescue team, Scott Hearn, I'm sorry, the person that was they were looking for, Scott Hearn, came one day after a person who's on the search and rescue team, Eric Walterman. He described himself as, quote, not a very religious person, but he said he woke up and he felt compelled to pray. He felt compelled to pray that day, a guy that doesn't normally pray. For this 48-year-old man that had been gone for 14 days and missing food and water for 12. He said, I'm not a very religious person, but yesterday morning I woke up and I said a prayer for Scott Hearn and his family. He said in a statement that he was shared by the rescue search and rescue team. He said, to be honest, praying isn't something I do too often. We were working on this operation since Tuesday, and most of the team went into the day pretty much with the thought this was going to be a recovery mission, just recover a body. So I said a prayer, knowing that the family would probably be getting some very sad news that day. As a searcher recalled, he said Saturday was going to be the team's very last day for looking for him, regardless of what they found or didn't find. The area that they searched was the roughest terrain in a very dangerous part of the Daniel Boone National Forest. During the last ditch search effort that the team found footprints in the mud they had not seen before. So we stopped to regroup, and one of the people on the team heard a very faint noise. He said, we paused and we shouted, who is that? Thinking it was another search team, I then heard, help. And we took off in that direction. We got closer. We asked what his name was, and he said, Scott Hearn, the guy they'd been looking for. I've never moved faster uphill in my entire life, he said. Walterman hurried ahead with the search rescue team. As soon as he reached Hearn, he remembered, he said, my name is Eric. I'm with Wolf County Search and Rescue. You're safe. We're going to get you out of here. He just looked at me and said, thank you so much. Will you give me a hug? He said, I got teary-eyed and I gave him a big hug. He said it was perhaps the best hug of both of our lives. So the team has described this rescue as truly a miracle. They said, we were persistent in our search, but he said the hope was failing. And so, you know, when you look at this, there are times in our life where we may be moved to pray for somebody, but I think it's important for people to understand that, and if you try it, and I think you will be amazed at the results. I just got to say, yeah, prayer has changed our life. It's changed many people's lives. And I'll end up with this here. It's very similar to what we began with. The prayer from the search and rescue team guy who said he really wasn't a praying man, but he just woke up. He felt compelled to pray about it. Yeah, we can all kind of wonder, you know, why does it work that way? But nevertheless, just accept that it does. This is a guy who was traveling with his father out in West Texas. His father had grown up on farms, been a long line of farmers, but his father had left that line of work and become a statistician. He said, we're just driving out in West Texas where you just see for miles and miles and miles. There's nothing in the way, no trees, nothing. It's flat. We were driving, we were talking. He said, it's always great to do that with his dad because he's one of these guys, he said, who knows a great deal about pretty much everything, tremendously a wide array of subjects. And so he said his dad was pointing out some of the tracts of land that he's looking at. And he said, that farm over there, that's a dry land farm. And then he explained what a dry land farm was. He said, it's exactly the way that it sounds. He said, it's land that is intentionally not irrigated. This is the purest kind of farming where you plow the fields, you plant the crops, and you wait for the rain. While it takes a big risk because you're truly operating in the realm of faith, dry land farming can also be very lucrative, he said. Because it's so expensive to irrigate, he said, a farmer really only needs to have the dry land only needs a dry land to produce a good crop once every 10 years in order to get by. And he said, well, I looked at that. He said, I thought, you know, there's a real relatable point here to spiritual discipline. He said, you know as well as I do that some mornings, maybe many mornings, your time with the Lord just feels dry. So dry that you wonder if the rain is ever going to come again. So dry that you wonder if the time you put into prayer and studying and memorizing is even worth it. He said, you can choose the road of faith that eventually your feelings are going to catch up to what you know is true. And you can continue to break up the hard ground of your heart and to sow the seed of the word inside those cracked and parched places, because you know that even in this dry land, the rain will eventually fall and you'll be ready when it does. You know, one of my favorite passages is Isaiah 55, where it talks about is the rain and the snow. And, you know, when I looked at that, I thought about that for quite a while. And it seems to me like, you know, sometimes we have snow and it doesn't immediately water the ground, does it? It kind of sets there for a very long time. Then eventually it'll seep into the ground. And I think that is an amazing picture of what our life is like. You know, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways, are they?
Of biased and false news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets publish things that simply aren't true without checking facts first.
Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think.
And this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 Break free from the usual script with The David Knight Show, a fresh perspective bringing you genuine insights on current events. But if the show is going to stay on the air, we'll need your continued support. Sharing the show, subscribing, and even just hitting the like button all help. And if you found our show helpful, please consider donating and becoming a part of a community that values the truth. Because independent, listener-funded news, untouched by corporate globalist agendas, is extremely important to our liberties.